Informative, local, dependable.
These students' First Amendment rights are being violated?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are criticizing a nation state for their actions in war, not criticizing a faith that is very close to me.
I don't believe that, you know, advocating for the rights of the Palestinian people are inherently anti-Semitic, but some of these chants and some of the ways in which that they attribute and target Jewish students, that is anti-Semitic.
These administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak, they're scared, and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you're doing that stuff.
So, this business of what's going on the college campuses. I know I haven't talked an awful lot about this. Honestly, I've been trying to figure out my own reaction to it because I have a lot of thoughts about this, as I think would not surprise you. But there's a lot to be said and a lot of nuance to it because a lot very much depends on what's actually being done, what's actually being said. Of course, the news now is, for example, that University of Florida has warned its students on Friday that they could be suspended or banished for 3 years if they violate rules about camping, use of bullhorns, protesting inside of buildings, or possessing weapons. Employees can be terminated for similar infractions. 50 people have been seen protesting on the Gainesville campus since Wednesday. You have, you know, some places are closing off their campus to visitors. Some places are trying to kick out all the you know, people staying overnight. Some people are going on remote learning. I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know, whether it's George Washington University, Cal Poly, USC, Ohio State, Emory, Northwestern, just across the nation. You know, we are dealing with this challenge of what to do with all of these protesters. And the problem is that they're not just protesters. I mean, you actually have some places where they've been, you know, threatened with expulsion or threatened with, being suspended. Barnard, a women's college in Columbia, has suspended more than 50 students who were arrested. It looks like maybe they've got agreements to let them all come back to campus, so it might be first reaction, and then they change that. Vandy in Tennessee has issued the only student expulsions that are known. They've got 24 students occupying the university chancellor's office for several hours on the 26th of March. They summoned police, arrested several protesters, then issued 3 expulsions, 1 suspension, and put 22 protesters on probation. So you have a lot of mixture here, okay? Mixture of issues, mixture of what's being said and done, and mixture of behavior. And that's the challenge of giving a here's what to think about these cases. It kind of reminds me of January 6th in some ways, and here's what I mean by that. Some of the people involved in January 6th were outside and did nothing illegal and were purely there to protest or demonstrate in favor of President Trump. Okay? Some people got inside the Capitol, but all they did was trespass. Like, they didn't do anything else. Some people got in and destroyed property and, you know, hurt people. And some people were trying to do an insurrection. A very small number of people, in my opinion, but certainly some were. So how do you describe an event like that? Well, it's all of those things, right? And that's, I think, fair to say about these protests as well. You have some fully peaceful protesters at one end of the spectrum who legitimately their only reason for being there is they believe that Israel is overreacting and hurting Gaza in an unjustified, illegal, maybe war crimes-esque manner. That's their view. They think that the innocent people who are being killed in Gaza are being killed by illegal or immoral decisions by the Israeli government, and they want to protest that. And people who peacefully want to take that position on a college campus, I'm with you in protecting your right to do so. I am. Of course. Peaceful protest about an international political event? That is exactly what the First Amendment is there to protect. At the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are engaging in criminal vandalism, destruction of property into the seven figures in some of these cases, threatening, perhaps hurting people, resisting arrest. And, I mean, those are just straight-up crimes. There's no First Amendment protection for you. Somewhere between those two extremes, you have what I still think is very extreme, is you have people who are advocating for the genocide of Jews. They're not engaging in other illegal acts. I say that very carefully. They're not, you know, they're the question whether that's illegal, we'll talk about. But they're not, you know, defacing property, interfering with people. They're not threatening or menacing. They're saying something vile. They're saying either that Jews don't have a right to exist, or that Israel doesn't have a right to exist, or as some of the signs that I'm actually looking at from Cal Poly, push them out. There are more of you than there are of them, which you sometimes hear synopsized in the expression from the river to the sea. The river is the Jordan River. The sea is the Mediterranean. Okay. The idea is to push all the Israelis into the ocean, that it is only Arabs, what you might today call Palestinians, although I think that's a term fraught with a lot of politics and baggage. But okay, they want to eliminate the state of Israel. They think that Israel is the occupier. And there's a lot of conversation you can have about that. But they either are anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, or anti-Jew, anti-Semitic, or both. And sometimes the way they express that view is really, really vile. Sometimes they might be a little more nuanced about it, and they might simply describe Israel as occupiers. And then the question, you start to ask the question, well, where do you think the Jews ought to be able to live? Do you think Jews ought to have a homeland? Where should that be? You probe a little bit. But, okay, so let's call that the sort of, it's not in the middle technically, but it's more to the middle than obviously engaging in, you know, outright violence and defacing of property. Should that be illegal? Should the police be cracking down on those people? Should college presidents be cracking down on students or teachers who advocate for Israel to not exist? That's a very interesting question. My answer would be, oh, yes. I hate to have to say it because I prefer to say all free speech is free speech. But I tell you, there are certain things you advocate for. And if what you're advocating for is, again, you know, racial genocide of a country, yeah, I can't support that because that would be a crime to engage in. I'm the guy who typically, I want to say, if you're a racist and you want to say racist things again, like say a white supremacist, you don't want to say racist things against black people. Man, I think you're an idiot, you're evil, you're not Christian, you don't understand what God has said about these things over time, and, you know, you're vile and disgusting. But the First Amendment protects you. I want to say that. But there are times when even I look at some of the expressions of those things and think, man, I don't even know that I want to say that. And when it comes to the history of anti-Semitism in this world, whether it's back to Pharaoh, or whether it's Herod, or whether it's Hitler, or today, in varying degrees, there's something uniquely vile about anti-Semitism. And because it has been used as the pretext for killing millions upon millions of Jews historically, I'm very open to the claim that maybe that speech shouldn't be legal. You know, in Germany, you can't. Like, in Germany, you can't advocate for Nazism. And typically, Americans look at that and say, why don't they believe in free speech? I'm like, they have reasons. You know, they have reasons. Okay? Reasons that make pretty good sense. And I tell you, watching these people on these college campuses, some of whom I want to protect, if all they're engaging in is a political conversation about their view about Israel and the war in Gaza, but an awful lot of whom are engaged in disgusting expressions, potentially criminal expressions, advocating for genocide. I think that's like one of those, man, I don't know whether that's protected speech or not. Because you can't engage in genocide. You can't engage in murder. Advocacy of certain crimes starts to become a crime itself, right? You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Can you yell Jews are evil in a crowded Columbia campus? I mean, that's kind of the question you want to ask. So the reason I haven't talked about this a lot is because I've been trying to figure out exactly what I think about it and what I wanted to say about it. but that's where I land. So would I call in the police to just arrest everybody? No. Would I call in the police to clear the campus, depending on the circumstance? Yeah. But it's going to be pretty context specific. Locally, I thought Mike Papantonio's comments on Channel 3 were interesting.
Until we can get their attention where the government does their job and says, you know what? This is not a breeding ground for anarchism. This is not a breeding ground for a jihad against the Israel. This is not a breeding ground to where any jackleg can simply take to the streets and say whatever they want to say, incite whatever they want to cite. This is not 1960s anymore.
Yeah, again, I'm sympathetic to that. I tend to lean that way, but it's always one of those, I'd like to be an absolutist about speech issues. You can't be an absolutist about speech issues. There are some limits. But the things that I'm willing to protect are things that, you know, I mean, blasphemy, I protect blasphemy, sure, of course. But, you know, then again, you know, you look at the penalty for blasphemy in the Bible, is, I mean, it's a death penalty. You know, so it's not so great, right? So in America, we certainly have a value for free speech, but there are certainly going to be some limits. This one comment I thought was particularly noteworthy. This is from a student. This is NBC did this.
When have students ever been protesting and you look back and you say, oh, no, they were wrong. We know we are on the right side of history.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I don't know. Some of the protests around the Supreme Court and abortion, some of the Black Lives Matter protests, you know, Ferguson, you were wrong about Ferguson. The Department of Justice under Obama actually said you were wrong about Ferguson. Vietnam, I think you could have a conversation about whether the protests around Vietnam were right or wrong. But as one person just texted and said, you know, look, all of these complex issues, you have individuals that might be doing things in that are fully appropriate. But it's when you get groups of people together in large numbers that they start to be almost incapable of appropriate behavior. And that's true, too. And I think, look, this is also fair to say, there's a kind of a mob mindset that takes place. There's also a, hey, I want to be part of the party mindset that takes place. Black Lives Matter protests, there was absolutely a lot of people. There were absolutely a lot of people who were involved in that that, hey, this is happening. I want to be in it. You know, it's a something to do. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the excitement of being able to say that I was in the protests or I was on the college campuses protesting Israel. I mean, just, again, there's a lot of particular things to be said about what people are doing. And, you know, if you ignore that part of it, I think you're ignoring a slice of what's actually happening. You know, why is this happening? Solidarity out of, you know, well-informed students who know their history and know the context and are expressing a nuanced political opinion? No, there's a party at the Quad. Let's go be part of it, right? Or, you know, and this is also true, guys who want dates. You know, why? Why do guys engage in politics? Sometimes to get a chick. I mean, that's also true. It's just, there's a lot to be said. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.